Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be able to continue studying the book of Ruth. We ask your blessing on the teaching. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in Ruth chapter 2, and we're going to do verses 1 to 16. And I titled the message, Living by Faith and Grace in Our Lord. Naomi and Ruth have now made it to Bethlehem, and they're going to see what the Lord has planned for them. We read in verse 1, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning till now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Now, there's a Latin proverb that says, providence assists, not the idle. Since Ruth wasn't the kind of woman who could stay idle, she asked Naomi's permission to glean in the field so they would have food to eat. This was a step of faith on Ruth's part. It was based on God's commandment in the law, Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. Whenever they reaped a harvest, God's people were to consider the poor and leave gleanings for them, because it was God who gave the harvest, and God had the right to tell people how they should use it. This law was proof God had concern for the poor among his people. So Israel was instructed to treat the poor with equity in Exodus 23, and Leviticus 19, and Proverbs 22, and with generosity. God also had concern for the widows. Many of them were poor. God told the people to care for them, Exodus 22 and Isaiah 10. So Ruth wasn't only a poor widow, she was also an alien. So she had every right to look to God for his help and provision. We read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 18, "He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing." To live by faith means taking God at his word, and then acting on it. We're told in James 2:20, "But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" So since Ruth believed God loved her and that God would provide for her, she went looking for a field where she could glean from. Again, it was an act of faith. Being a stranger, she didn't know who owned the fields in the land. I mean, there were boundary markers for each field, but there wasn't any fences or names of the families who owned them. As a woman, an outsider, she was vulnerable, so she had to be very careful where she went. Well, this is where Boaz comes on the scene. He was a relative of Elimelech, who was considered a man of standing in the community. What's interesting, the name Boaz means "in him is strength." In him is strength. It just goes to show you how amazing our God is. By his providence, providence meaning God knows the future, God led Ruth to glean in the field belonging to Boaz. We read here that Ruth happened to come to this portion of field. But I want to clue you in on something. This was no accident. The Lord was guiding Ruth's steps. I can't help but to think of God's providential working in our lives. Not only is it a joy, it's also a mystery. God is constantly working with us, in us, and for us as he accomplishes his gracious purposes. We pray, we seek God's will, we make decisions. Sometimes those decisions turn out to be mistakes. But it's always God who orders events and guides those who are willing to let him guide them. In a vision, Ezekiel saw God's providential workings shown by a throne set on a firmament that was moved here and there by wheels within wheels. That's in Ezekiel chapter 1. I mean, we can't explain it, but thank God we can believe it and we can rely on it. When Ruth set out that morning to glean in the fields, she was looking for someone who would show her grace. Grace is favor bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and can't earn it. That's grace. As a woman, a poor widow, and an alien, Ruth had no claims on anyone. She was at the lowest of the social ladder. But the channel of that grace, you guessed it, was Boaz. You know, if we only knew only the account in the book of Judges, we'd conclude the righteous had perished from the earth. But there were still people like Boaz who knew the Lord and were committed to obeying God's will. Boaz was concerned about his workers. He wanted them to enjoy the blessing that would come from the Lord. So he greets him. And then he notices this stranger in his field. I get the impression when he first saw Ruth, it was love at first sight. Why would I say that? Because from this moment on, Boaz's focus is on Ruth and not the harvest. Even though she was an alien, Ruth was a young woman, the young man in the town would notice. She would catch your eye. So verse 11 indicates Boaz had already heard about Ruth. Now he was about to meet her personally. It was nothing more than the overruling providence of God. What do I mean by overruling providence of God? It means God was putting this all together. It wasn't Boaz. It wasn't Ruth or Naomi. It wasn't anybody else. It was all God. The Lord led Ruth to Boaz's field. Then he led Boaz to visit his field while Ruth was there. Now some would think, Rick, it's just coincidence. Really? Think about it. When Boaz arrived, Ruth might have been resting in the house provided for his workers, or she could have grown weary and tired and left for home to be with Naomi. But when we commit our lives to the Lord, what happens to us happens by way of appointment. It's not by accident. Ruth was still a poor widow and an alien, but God was about to create a new relationship that would completely change her circumstances and her life. Now, Bible scholars have seen in Boaz a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to his bride, the church. So just like Ruth, those who are lost are outside of God's covenant family. They're bankrupt. They have no claim on God's mercy. But God took the initiative and provided a way for us to enter his family through faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to see more of this relationship when we get to chapter 3 and consider the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. So what I want to do, I want to look at the evidence of God's grace in the way Boaz related to Ruth. Just as God relates to you and me. Keep that in mind as we look at these 5 points. The first point, Boaz took the initiative, verse 8. You see, grace means God makes the first move to help us. Not because we deserve anything, but because he loves us and God wants us for himself. Can you believe that? He wants us for himself. The Apostle John said in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. God took the first step in salvation. Number one, when we were spiritually dead, Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 10. Secondly, when we were without strength, Romans 5 verse 6. Third, when we were still sinners, Romans 5 8. And fourth, when we were literally God's enemies, Romans 5 verse 10. Why would God do that if we were his enemies? Shows you his grace and his love. Salvation wasn't some afterthought of God. It was what God had planned from eternity past. We believe Boaz loved Ruth. It's why he took the first steps to meet her needs. Secondly, Boaz spoke to Ruth, verse 8. It was Boaz who spoke to Ruth first. She would have no way even dared to speak to a man, especially one who was a stranger in the Lord of the harvest. What right did a widow and an alien have to speak to a great and wealthy man like Boaz? And yet, he interrupted his conversation with his foreman to speak to a poor stranger gleaning in his field. You know, I find it fascinating. After all we as sinners have done to God, and yet God still speaks to us in his grace. He gave us his book, the Bible. He gave us his word to speak to us. God not only speaks the word of salvation, he also gives us the guidance we need for everyday life. Just as Boaz instructed Ruth, God also shares his word of wisdom to direct our daily lives. Here's what we need to remember. God is the Lord of the harvest. God is the one assigning to you and me our place in his field. God is doing that. Third, Boaz promised to protect Ruth and provide her needs. Verses 9, 14 through 16. Boaz called Ruth my daughter. One reason was because she was younger than him, but also because he would treat her like a member of his family. David, King David, did the same thing for Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 9. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son, and David loved Jonathan. Boaz instructed his young men to protect her and for the young women to work with her. She was to be with the female servants who walked after the reapers. In other words, you ready for this? Ruth was given an opportunity for the best of the gleanings. Isn't that what God does for us? Boaz also told his workers to allow Ruth to glean among the sheaves and to deliberately drop some of the harvest just for her. God does that. It's called blessings. God gives us blessings. We don't deserve it, but he gives it out of his grace to us. If she was hungry or thirsty, she could refresh herself with the workers. In fact, according to verse 14, not only did Boaz eat with her, Boaz even handed her her food. It reminds me of the marriage supper of the Lamb that we're going to be at with our Lord. It's a picture of God's grace. The master became like the servants that he might show his love to a foreigner. Amazing. Ruth had no idea Boaz had told his workers to be so generous to her. But she believed his word, and she found her needs were met, just like God with us. Jesus came to this earth as a servant that he might save us and make us a part of his family. He has shared with us the riches of his mercy and love, the riches of his grace, the riches of his wisdom and knowledge, his riches in glory, and yes, as Ephesians 3:8 says, his unsearchable riches. We were undeserving foreigners and are now members of God's eternal family. We have all of his inheritance at our disposal. Number four, Boaz encouraged Ruth, verses 10 to 13. Ruth's response to Boaz was one of humility and gratitude. She acknowledged her own unworthiness. She accepted his grace. She also believed his promises, and you know what? She was excited over them. Ruth didn't need to worry. This wealthy lord of the harvest would care for her and Naomi. How did she know Boaz would take care for her? He gave her his promise. And you know what? She knew he could be trusted. We know God could be trusted with his promises. Ruth didn't look back at her tragic past, nor did she look at herself and consider what she had been through. You know what she did? She fell at Boaz's feet and submitted herself to him. So what was the secret to how Ruth was now acting? She looked away from her poverty and she focused on his riches. She forgot her fears. She rested on his promises. Man, is that ringing any bells for you? What an example for God's people to follow. Too many people today are miserable because they don't obey what we're told in Hebrews 12:2. Three words. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. People spend too much time looking at themselves, their circumstances, and other people who fail to do what Ruth did. She centered her attention on her master. Instead of resting in God's perfections, people focus on their own imperfections. Instead of seeing God's spiritual riches, they complain about their bankruptcy and poverty. They go to church to get their needs met, instead of going to church to worship the God who is greater than any of their needs. Fifth and lastly, Boaz saw to it that Ruth was satisfied. Verse 14 and 18. All this happened to Ruth because of her faith in God. Boaz knew Ruth's story. It didn't take long for news to get around a little town like Bethlehem. He knew Ruth had left her home, her gods, and had put her faith in God. Just like you and me as born-again believers, Ruth was no longer a foreigner. She wasn't a stranger. She wasn't only accepted by God, she was dwelling in his very presence. The word translated answered from the Hebrew text in verse 11 is raised his voice. Boaz was getting excited. He was getting fired up. He wanted everybody to hear what he thought about Ruth. And he wasn't ashamed to be identified with her. That's the way God is with us. God's not ashamed to be identified with us. She had trusted God and proved her faith by staying with her mother-in-law and becoming a part of the people of Israel. The word spoken kindly in verse 13 means spoken to the heart. God's word comes from God's heart to the hearts of God's people. It gives encouragement and hope to us. If you're listening to the voices of the world, you will be discouraged. But if you're listening to God's voice from His word, your heart will be encouraged. God's word and God's Son can totally satisfy your heart as a believer. When we seek satisfaction elsewhere, we find ourselves disobedient, frustrated, and dissatisfied. The world is lost. The world labors for that which doesn't satisfy. But for you and me, we have total satisfaction because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 36, verses 7 to 9 tell us, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is a fountain of life. In your light, we see light." We need to live by faith and depend on God's grace. But as we're going to see in our next teaching, there is a third thing that's very important for us to be doing. Read chapter 3 and check it out. finish chapter 2, and check it out. See if you can come up with what that third thing is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us in this beautiful love story that pictures your love for us, God. Go before us now. Bless the rest of our day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.